Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 300 of Selling the Couch. Oh my gosh. 300. This is crazy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. None of this would be possible without each of you guys. And, you know, launching a podcast like this, and for someone like me who really struggles with a lot of fear and doubt, I never imagined actually getting up to 300 episodes. I actually had a colleague early on in the SDC journey tell me, like, how long do you think you can keep this going? Because you're going to run out of topics. And for a long time, I listened to that voice. And finally, I think I was just able to let it go. And here we are, 300 episodes. I love podcasting. I love all of the different, you know, people I get to connect with and the interesting conversations I get to have. And today is one of those conversations. We're actually doing a coaching call all about online courses and more specifically all about the imposter syndrome and the fear of charging your worth when it comes to creating your online course. This is, I think, something that many of us struggle with. And I wanted to have our guest today, who is Nikki Sewell. Nikki's website is over at nikkisewell.com. And Nikki was part of our initial beta group for online course school. OCS is this 8-week live experience where we walk you through setting up your online course, everything from validating it to how do you record, and then we even work on getting your sales page up and ready to go. So basically, by that point, you're ready for your pilot group. And Nikki's about to get her first students into her online course. And what she's noticed is her first pilot students. And what she's noticed is there's just a lot of fear coming up around like charging your worth. She's actually creating a course for therapists, a grief course for therapists, because those of us that are doing therapy, I know that many of us are trying to navigate this, the profound grief, and may not have the appropriate training and just sort of feeling like, how do I do this? And Nikki's offering that solution. You'll hear more of this in the conversation, but Nikki has built a successful private practice pre-pandemic focused on the niche of grief. And she is actually lives this out, meaning that she lost her father in her second year of grad school to suicide. And then she had lost her husband back in 2013, unexpected death at the age of 41. And that's what motivated her to pursue this sort of path. And so this is a really interesting conversation, and I hope that you find it helpful. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online-course-workshop. Hey, Nikki, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Melvin.
You know, I totally said I should say welcome back to Selling the Couch, and I totally forgot. It's been almost 4 years, right?
We're all creatures of habit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe it's almost been 4 years since, you know, we recorded that first podcast episode.
Yeah, and that was really pivotal in my practice.
Yeah, it helped.
In terms of this work that I do.
Yeah, it helped you find that niche. And let us know that that space that you found is.
Yeah, well, I had started marketing my grief counseling practice in 2017, and then had been working on kind of niching down into, as we talked about in that previous podcast episode, working with widows, working with suicide survivors, working with orphaned adults.
Yeah, it's always so interesting to me, like when our colleagues share like on their niches and how they arrive there. But then also it's super empowering, right? Because you could have something like widows, right? And you would think that's a, wow, that could be a niche. But then it is like empowering, like, yeah, that's totally a niche, right? Mm-hmm. And once you really hone in on like that population and what they struggle with, right? It just makes so much, I would imagine, like so many things so much easier, right? Marketing, all of that.
Right? And I also love that word empowering, right? Because I think when people think of doing the work of grief counseling or grief therapy, it's like, oh, that's depressing. Isn't that depressing? Oh, it's so sad. But it's really about empowering individuals to kind of rebuild the lives that they thought they lost.
Wow.
Or that they did lose a part of their life, right? Yeah. But it's what's lost and what's left and what's possible.
Wow. What a beautiful way to say it, right? So it doesn't all, it's not like.
I can't take credit for that.
Yeah. But it's
out. But I've adopted it.
Yeah. It's a wonderful mantra.
It is.
Because it assumes that you don't lose everything, right? But then you also have the capacity to rebuild, and whatever you create in the future could be even more beautiful and unique than what was there before.
Yeah.
We're doing something pretty interesting today. And one, I just wanted to say before we even jump into this, how grateful I am for you. You are one of the most genuine and kind and sincere people that I know.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. Oh, that's, yeah. The feelings are mutual.
And I mean, you were part of online course school, you know, our initial cohort, and I just felt like we formed this connection to one another, and there was just this spirit of just genuinely wanting to help each other build our courses. And you're at sort of this crossroads, right? And so maybe before we jump into the thing that you're sort of wanting to workshop and navigate, tell us a little bit about where the thought around an online course even came from.
It started back in 2018. I'd been getting calls from potential clients, a couple who were transitioning out of their work with one therapist because, for example, that therapist didn't feel comfortable or competent or whatever word they might have felt about continuing to do that work in the context of that person grieving. And then I'd gotten some calls around that same time from therapists saying, hey, can I refer you somebody for grief counseling because it's not my wheelhouse? And I thought, gosh, you know, is there a way to make therapists more comfortable, even if they don't feel like they have some sort of specialized, you know, certification or even a trauma treatment like EMDR or something? Mm. Is there a way to kind of give them some tangible skills that they can start using in sessions today, right? That might make them more comfortable working with clients, because it's a very comfortable subject for me. And maybe that's in part because of life experiences, or should I say death experiences in my life, right?
Yeah. And for those that folks that didn't hear or haven't had a chance to listen to our previous conversation from a couple of years ago, tell us a little bit about the context of why you feel like the personal side of it for you.
Yeah. I mean, while I was in graduate school, in between my first and second year, my dad had died, traumatic circumstances. He died by suicide. And then 7 years later, after I'd moved out here to Connecticut, my husband died suddenly and unexpectedly at the age of 41. And that was back in 2013.
Yeah. So for you, this is so personal. And I feel like even before we dive into the depth of this, like this is something, you know, I was trying to like emphasize with you guys over and over. The best courses are when you combine clinical training with personal experience, right? Because it just gives you one, like a business owner, it gives you such a competitive advantage because you can speak to subtle nuances, right? Yeah. That maybe somebody that's strictly academic understanding may not be able to understand. And then I think the other side of it is people connect with story, right? And that is so powerful mm-hmm. when it comes to inviting people to join our course, you know? So yeah, I know we were at this kind of crossroads trying to navigate a grief course for the general public, which it sounds like that may come in the future.
Absolutely.
But then, you know, you decided there are so many clinicians. I mean, we were just talking about this right before. When you combine something like, especially like the normal sort of life stuff that happens, right? Unexpected deaths, all of that kind of stuff, right? When you combine that with a pandemic and the grief that overlays in all of our lives, mm-hmm. I mean, it just, there's such a unique facet to this. And I think there's such a need for a course like this because so many clinicians, I mean, I literally talked to two colleagues last week and they just talked about how overwhelmed they were just mm-hmm. with how and how heavy they feel, right? Right. And yeah.
Never before have we in this field, right, been kind of living this same experience mm-hmm. as our patients, right? Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, we have some life experience or circumstance that's happening in that moment that we happen to have a client that's going through something similar. But nothing really compares to COVID in the sense of being this therapist and taking care of ourselves and our families and our communities and also our clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while we're struggling, it's hard. It's mm-hmm. been, I don't think it's ever been this hard to be a therapist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard work, period.
Yep.
But it's never been this hard.
Yep. Agreed. I mean, and you just said that so well. Like, and then the length of it, right? Like, you know,
the prolonged uncertainty.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it just keeps going.
Yep.
And then we have this hope that, oh my God, maybe it's quote unquote vanquished.
Yeah.
And then here we are in this new surge, this Omicron surge.
Yep. Yeah. It's unreal. And so, I don't know. So you're seeing sort of holistically, right? You've got your personal experience. You've got the clinical training have been, you know, this is your specialty. You've been doing this for a number of years. You've built a successful practice around it, a very successful practice around it. And you're at this point where you're like, wow, you know, I think sort of the next chapter of my life is serving our field by sharing my knowledge and expertise in mm-hmm. a way that betters the lives of clinicians. And when they're served, right? They impact the lives of their clients.
Better serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I mean, and I know your heart and I know that's where it's at. And when you ask me like the question, and maybe you can even share it here, right? Because I think one of the hardest parts of creating an online course is actually not the, how do you record a course? How do you structure a course? Right? It's the mental games and the mental dialogue we play with ourselves. I've shared with you guys this on previous episodes, but especially last year and this year, definitely, I like heavily invested in therapy and brain spotting mm-hmm. because of this money stuff, because I realized it was not my creative ideas that was holding me back. It was my shame around money and my feeling like I was worthy to be teaching something, even though I knew like I would never teach on anything unless I had like significant experience and like knowledge on and success with, right? So tell us a little bit about where you are. And like, I would love to hear that. And then we can kind of workshop this together.
Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that because it's nice to know that I know I'm not alone in these feelings and these money blocks and money shame and who am I to ask for? But I think when we had talked about coming on the podcast and talking this question through, it was a couple different things, right? One was a sense of imposter syndrome. Who am I to think that I could offer this, even though this is my expertise? So there's like these two competing halves of my brain, right? And so that was one of them. And then, but there's a layer of imposter syndrome or whatever we want to call it that relates to the money piece in terms of, okay, so you think you have this expertise and you should charge for your services, but then there's also shame on the other side in terms of who are you to think you are to charge X number of dollars mm. for this course. Mm. And I think on both sides, nobody has told me yet that it's too expensive, mm. but I think I have this internal voice that is. But a lot of people have told me it's the opposite. I need to be charging more. And that makes me so uncomfortable.
What is it about that that makes you so uncomfortable?
I think it's just asking for a lot of money, even though I know. So this is these two halves competing, right? But even though I know I'm providing a service, and to your point, helping therapists to better take care of themselves in order to better serve their clients.
Yeah.
That's an investment in their future.
Right.
Just like what we do with our clients.
Right.
Sure, maybe they pay, you know, out of pocket per session, but the tools that they're learning or gaining in the context of each session, like they get to take that with them.
Yeah.
So if we see them for 6 sessions or 16 sessions or 60 sessions, they take that with them.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yep. There's like, I think you just said that so beautifully. The space you're going into is really unique because you are giving clinicians a skill set. Clinicians then give clients a skill set. But the other side of it is when clinicians are equipped to do this well, they actually make money, right? Yeah. And so,
As they should,
right?
I wish I could work for free.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have to deal with money and money blocks and
right.
all that.
Right. Yeah.
But I got to pay my bills.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess this is the sort of nuance to it, right? Like you're actually helping clinicians to become better clinicians and better business owners, right? And if you could
if
you could think of it that way, right? That, I mean, this skill set that you're giving them, it's going to make thousands, tens of thousands, right? Possibly even hundreds of thousands of dollars
over time.
So what is it like to hear that and feel that?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. And I just hadn't thought about it in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked about this. It is definitely not easy. And, you know, in OCS, we talked about like the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? And Heather like articulated that so well. And so the basic, you know, premise of it is that usually the more competent that you feel on a topic, right, the more unworthy you feel about teaching it and being perceived as an expert in it. I think that's you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we could probably open it up and be like, example, Nikki Sewell. I'm teasing, but you know, like, I mean,
but even as you say that, you know, mm-hmm. part of why I wanted to explore this question is that I know it's not just me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That you could certainly be right. We open that page and there's my name. Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of people feel that. Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of clinicians feel it. I mean, there's such a, I don't know if you feel this, but like, well, there's a couple of things. One is, I think there's this natural tension I think a lot of clinicians feel, which is, we're in a helping profession. And if you are in a helping profession, that means there's like an upper limit in terms
exactly.
of charging. Does that resonate, that part?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that's the interesting thing, because I feel like knowing you, you don't struggle as much with that with therapy though, pricing your therapy services, right?
Right. But I've been self-pay for over 5 years now, I think. And over time, I've kind of increased that fee.
Yeah.
And there's shame on both sides, right? So you'll get people shaming you for, you should charge more. And then you get people shaming you for, how dare you not take insurance?
Yeah.
And therapists should take insurance.
Yeah.
Well, don't even get me started on that soapbox about that insurance should reimburse more fairly.
Yeah.
And there should be cost of living adjustments every year.
Right, right.
Which there are not.
Right.
As far as I know, the reimbursement rate for one large insurance company, which shall remain nameless,
right,
here in Connecticut, has not increased for the past 10 years.
Wow.
For a 90834.
Wow, that's crazy.
And yeah. then the other piece of that, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but the vast majority of therapists are women, right? Mm. Shame on you for asking more.
Mm.
Shame on you for wanting to create a life that's sustainable and you're not having to see 45 clients a week.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, when
to be able to afford to live.
Right, when you add that layer, like sort of patriarchy and that like layer and those multiple sort of unspoken things, it's overwhelming, you know?
Yeah. But I think it's actually helpful when you said it in that way that I don't have the same struggle with therapy and with saying this is what my fee is, or even with my immigration evaluation service that I offer.
Did you have that struggle when you were starting those?
Yeah.
Okay. And
so I think that's what part of this is.
Yeah.
And again, it's pushing beyond my comfort zone. It's offering a new service.
Yeah. So how did you push beyond with the immigration evals and the switching to private pay? Like, I mean, at a practical level, what did you do?
I think part of it is increasing the fees gradually, maybe too gradually, some people might argue.
So you could do that with your online course.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
With the immigration evaluations, I think it was getting more experience, right? And working with more attorneys, doing more types of evaluations, getting, you know, more and more positive feedback from them that I felt like maybe I was like legitimizing myself at some point.
Yeah.
So I could charge a little bit more.
Yeah.
And also the reframe, and this goes back to something you were sharing earlier about doing this course and that, you know, helping therapists to help others and it becomes this investment. So that's kind of how I approach the immigration evaluations, is that this is an investment in someone's family's future to be able to keep their family intact here rather than the trauma of separation.
You know, one of the things I'm just like feeling and kind of taking away is this whole process of pricing, right? It's such, in this weird way, it's actually this act of humility, because the sooner that we can sort of remove ourselves from the equation and make it less about us and our, and this is not to minimize, but like make it less about us and our sort of shame around it, if that makes sense, but more about like, I am part of like one larger picture, right? I think like that sort of reframe has been really helpful for me. I heard that the second thing I wanted to add was I heard this great story earlier this week, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but
I do that all the time.
So the basic idea is, you know, I think when we think about competence or knowledge or pricing, right, we think of it like in black and white often, right? Like either I'm competent on this subject to teach it or I'm not competent. And I just wish that I could like cite the person because I want to like give this person credit. But they said, look at it instead of that way, like a black and white kind of thing. Look at it more like the rungs of a ladder, right? And the reality is you may be on rung 3 with your knowledge and level of expertise on grief, right? I suspect you're way higher than that. But the thing to remember is there are people on rung 2 and rung 1 who need the information that rung 3 is providing.
Yeah.
Right. And now there may be people on rung 6 and 7 who may not need it. Right.
Right.
But that's okay because
those are the people that are offering their own certification programs.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And when I say certification, I mean like, you know, 30 hours of learning, right? Not this course that shall remain, course company that shall remain nameless. It's here's 6 CEUs and you can get a grief certification.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable by that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it was actually Jeff Walker. I was listening to his like product launch formula course, and I was listening to it this week in prep for our next cohort of OCS. He said, you know, the vast majority of students of courses tend to be beginners, right? Like they want to learn a brand new skill. And so I actually think you're in the perfect spot. Even if you do feel like you're only on rung 3 or 4, right? The majority of students are going to be rung 1, right?
Yeah. And I suppose when I've taken courses in the past, whatever the subject is, whether it's professional or for personal reasons, you come to it with that beginner's mind.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's this other side, which I think you will navigate well and fine, but called like the curse of knowledge, right? Actually, if you get up too high, like a rung 7 or 8, it's very easy to forget what it's like at rung 1. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of keep it too academic and kind of too over the head. Whereas I actually think the combo of your knowledge plus your clinical training makes you like perfect for, and your personal experience makes you perfect for like a rung 1.
Yeah, I'll have to work on embracing or adapting that reframe, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know like our time flew by. Where does it feel in terms of like now when you sort of think about, you know, like the money and charging and seeing, you know, removing yourself and realizing you've actually done this in 2 different contexts?
Yeah, I think it feels a bit more doable and a bit more comfortable. And it, you know, it's one of the things that you said at the very beginning, I think when we had our call about joining OCS, or maybe it was in one of our first sessions with the group, but it was that like, you're not going to have this course overnight, right? And like, and you shared how you've kind of built the podcast and also your podcasting course over time, right? And how the income has increased over time, right? With more memberships or maybe your fees have increased, I don't know. And so it's stepping outside of that, being uber successful this first round or whatever that even looks like, right? And thinking about it more as the tortoise rather than the hare.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, slow and steady.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because I think it's something I struggle with, which is we look at models of folks who've had successful, insert blank, right? In successful courses in this example. And then we feel like if we're not there yesterday, right?
Somehow, don't failure.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't even bother like launching this thing. Right.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, there's enough people that think that way that actually deters them, that I actually think the people that can push through that and actually do it, even if it is tortoise, which honestly, I would much rather do be the tortoise than the hare mm-hmm. because there's so
the
many.
The hare burns himself out.
Yeah. It's burnout, and then you may not have the infrastructure in place, right? Like, what if you get like 500 students overnight, right? Like,
yeah, that's too much.
Right. Like, you have to handle customer service, credit card rejections, any of that stuff, right? So, yeah, it's like, it's totally fine to pay swell, you know? Mm-hmm. Nikki, I'm so grateful for you. Let us know what's the best website that we can reach out to you? I'm sure you'll post the course there as well when it does get live, but
absolutely.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So I am at, it's the same website, but people can go to nikkisewell.com. So N-I-K-K-I, Sewell, S-E-W-E-L-L.com, just my name, or Milford Grief Therapist. And that's where my landing page is for the course is at the top of the screen, there's four therapists. And from the dropdown, people can find the course.
Nice.
Which actually just launched the page yesterday.
That's awesome. We'll definitely put it on the show notes.
Lovely. Thank you.
Nikki, this is going to be great. And, you know, I know I'm cheering you on, and I know everyone that is listening is cheering you on because there is such a need for this. And yeah, and you are absolutely worthy to be launching this. So
thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Hi there. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nikki, and especially if you are in a season, whether you're launching your online course or you're just in a season where you are struggling to price and own your worth and own your knowledge. I hope that today's podcast session has just been so helpful for you. That ladder analogy has just been so helpful for me because, again, as I mentioned, like on the call, I was thinking of it very black and white, like I either had the knowledge or I didn't have the knowledge. And I think that ladder analogy just reminded me that there are always going to be folks that are higher up on the rungs of the ladder, and there are always going to be folks on lower rungs of the ladder. And the people that I'll be teaching are the folks on the lower rung, and eventually I'll get up to higher rungs and then I'll add a rung there, right? And so, I don't know, that sort of imagery I think was so helpful. Yeah, and just even like thinking about what pricing and just charging our own sense of worth. Nikki's website is again at nikkisewell.com and then also at milfordgrieftherapist.com. Milford is M-I-L-F-O-R-D, milfordgrieftherapist.com, and that's where you can get some more information with regard to the course. Again, if you go on that website, there's a section up at the top that says for therapists. And if you just toggle down there, you'll get a link to the online course. Hey friends, we are on sabbatical from the STC podcast. This is my first sabbatical in 7 years, but we will be back in April with brand new episodes of the STC podcast. In the meantime, there are a lot of things happening still with STC. Among them is a brand new workshop that we put together for you that you can sign up at a date and time that works for you. If you are a successful private practitioner and interested in launching an online course, you can check out that workshop over at sellingthecouch.com/online course workshop. Again, that's sellingthecouch.com/online course workshop. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy. and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.